We are still in the introduction of the Chovas HaLevavos to Shaar HaBitachon, and he's describing the benefits and advantages of having Bitachon. Umitoeles HaBitachon b'Hashem b'inyan haTorah. As far as the benefit of having Bitachon and Hashem in regard to Torah and Mitzvahs, ki b'teich b'Hashem, when someone puts his trust entirely in Hashem, imhu bal mamon, if he is a person with wealth, he'll be quick to fulfill his requirements with his money. He will give the tzedakah he has to give. He'll pay what he has to pay with a nefesh chafetza, with a desire and a generosity, with feeling good about it. And then about a moment, if he doesn't have money, if he's not a wealthy person, he will look at it as if this is one of the good things God has done for him, that Hashem has left him without all this money. Because if he had money, he'd have all kinds of obligations that he'd have to take care of to Hashem and to people, and maybe he wouldn't be able to dispense his obligations properly. So I don't have the money to do it. So that whole thing is taken off his shoulders. Umiyat tirdas libo b'shmir sova hanagaso. Not to mention, he's not concerned about protecting and properly managing his funds because he doesn't have. K'mo shenemar al echem and echasidim shei omer. One of the chasidim would say, the chosid again is the person who's beyond tzaddik. He would say, hamakom yatzileni mi pizur hanefesh. Ribono shel Olam, save me from pizur hanefesh. Pizur is like to scatter. What does that mean? Save me from scattering of the soul? Amalei said to him, Mahu pizur nefesh? What is that? What are you talking about? Amalei, he said, Shili mamar b'rosh kol nahar b'rosh kol kirya. If I have investments by every river port and by every city, my mind would be occupied with this city and that location. That's pizur nefesh. Well, my mind is distracted to all these places. So he's davening to Hashem, save me from these kinds of distractions. This is what Chazal say. The more you have, the more you own, the more your concerns and anxiety about your property. Chazal say further, Ezo Ashir Hasameach Bechelko. Who is the one who's truly wealthy, the one who's happy with what he has? The person who puts his trust in Hashem will achieve a benefit in regard to his finances, with someone allowed me to say panasa, so his panasa. V'simana mimenu tirdas hamachshav v'shabal hamamon v'asmodas da'agas olo. And he won't have the distractions of people who have wealth. He won't have the concerns. K'mo sh'amar ha'chacham v'sukash nasa oved im'at v'harbei yochel v'savo yo'ashir v'nenem v'nirch v'lishon. It's sweet, the slumber of the one who works little or a lot. He eats, he's satisfied. Whereas the wealthy, he may be full, but he can't sleep at night. He's up at night worrying. So he's spared these concerns and these worries. Umehen, another advantage. The true Baal Bitachon will not allow his wealth to take away his Bitachon. Because even if he has money, he doesn't trust in the money. He doesn't rely on the money. He puts his trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How does he look at his wealth? His wealth is a deposit. It's a deposit left with him to be used under specific guidelines, specific circumstances, for specific expenses, for a specific amount of time. And if it stays by him longer, lo yivat ba'avuro, this will not take him away from Hashem. V'lo yasket tovosu l'mishet suva l'seis lo mimenu. And if he's instructed to give some of this money to someone else, like tzedakah, he doesn't expect that that person should owe him anything. V'lo yivakish of gemul hodo'o v'shevach, he's not waiting for someone to say thank you and to praise him. Avol humoy d'lebor o yisparach, he gives thanks to the Ribono Shel'Olam, Asher Simo Sibolatoibus, who made him a shliach to provide goodness for others. There's actually references to this in the Chumash. You may have learned it. Our Chaim HaKadosh talks about this, that when a person gives tzedakah to the ani, there's an approach to learn that the money belonged to the ani. The Ribbono Shel Olam gave it to the ashir in order to give back to the ani. So it's like you're giving the ani his money. It's not like you're giving him your money. People who give tzedakah often sometimes might feel bad. I'm giving all this money and could have spent it on something else. We say, no. It's the ani's money. It was never your money. The money that you're giving to the ani, the Ribbono Shel Olam gave you his money to take care of for him, and now you should give it to him. So you look at it as if I'm giving him his own money. The chiddush is, he says, that Hashem gives us schar as if it was our own money. That's the chiddush. The chiddush is, why should I get reward then? Why do I get schar for giving tzedakah? I'm just giving him back his money. That's the chiddush of tzedakah. The chiddush of tzedakah is Hashem gives me reward for giving tzedakah as if I'm giving my own. But in reality, it was given to me for the purpose of giving it back to him. Why did Hashem give it to him in the first place? That's a different cheshbon. Why the Ribbono Shel Olam felt this person's tikkun is not to have the money, someone should have it to the guest him, and so on. But that's really how the Baal Bitachon looks at it. And again, the Aruchim HaKadosh explains this in Chumash as well. That's the attitude a person is supposed to have when giving tzedakah, that he's not losing out. The one who's giving the tzedakah is not losing out. He's not being deprived of anything you're supposed to have. The Ribbono Shel Olam deposited with the Ashir the money to distribute to the Ani. And then he goes on to say, if you behave like that, Hashem will keep giving you more, because if you can be trusted with your deposits, then he'll give you more to take care of. If you can't be trusted, he might not give you more. The wealthy person who has bitachon, who loses? He has a lot of financial loss. Lo yadag, he's not going to worry. Lo yaval lecheso, no, he's not going to mourn his loss. He just is grateful to Hashem. You picked up your pikad and you picked up your deposit. That's great. The same way he was grateful when he deposited it with him. He's happy with his lot. He certainly doesn't seek out other people's downfall, other people's losses. He has no interest in other people's wealth. The tzaddik eats and he's satisfied. So there's a lot of things the Chavos Avos is bringing over here. That the poor person who has bitachon understands that Hashem wants it and he's fine. He's free from responsibilities that come with money. The wealthy person who has bitachon understands that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave it to me to use in a specific way, in a specific time. And if Hashem takes it from him, he takes it from him. That's Hashem's business and I'm happy with that. But along the way, the Baal Bitachon understands that it's not like, why did I lose my money and he didn't? Why can he afford this and I can't? The Baal Bitachon doesn't think like that. There's no room for chemda. There's no room for ayin ra. The Baal Bitachon is free from all of that. Ach to'alos ha-bitachon ba'olam, as far as benefits in this world, mehen menuchas alev and the agos olam yo. So of course there's the calm and serenity that you don't worry about the problems in the world. Hashalva, minidnut, hanefesh, v'tzara, lechesen, tavaseh, gufios. So there's a serenity. He's not moving around. He's not suffering the pains of people who feel they're lacking, that they don't have all the things they want and they desire. He doesn't have those problems. V'hubahashket, u'bidcho, u'bashalva, v'zeh. He lives in this world calm, serene, secure. K'mo shekasuv, like it says, baruch ha-gever, asher yivtech b'shem. V'hay Hashem yivtecho. The person who puts his trust in Hashem, so he's blessed. Like the tree that's planted by the stream and the roots go out to the water. Everything's good. Another advantage is you don't have to travel for Parnosa if you have Bitachon Hashem. Travel is very draining on the body. For some people, it shortens their lives. Like it says, the afflictions of the road weaken my strength and shorten my days. There's a story. A person who's a parush, he doesn't call him a chassid, but evidently he was a person of madrig, a person of stature. He went on a distant business trip. He wanted to earn money and he went on this trip. This was the beginning of his days of starting off on being a parish. So he gets to this distant city, and it comes across a non-Jew. So the parish says to the non-Jew, you people, you idol worshippers, you're so blind. no understanding. That you serve the stars. Like, what's with you? Why do you serve the stars? So tell me, what do you do? I serve the Creator. The one who's all capable, the one who supports, the one who's only one, the one who gives parnasa. There's no one like him, the Almighty. No one liked Rabbi Hashem. Amaloham Gushi, so the Avodah Zohar says to him, Pa'alcha Soser is Tiverecha. Your actions contradict your words. You talk very nice talk, but you're not walking the walk. Amaloha Parashayach, what do you mean? Parashayach, what are you talking about? Amaloha, the Avodah Zohar says to him, Ilohaya Mashamarta Amis, if it's true what you just said, that you serve the Creator who's all capable, almighty, and could support and take care of the world and everything, then he could support you in your town where you came from, just like he could support you here. Why would you come and travel such a far distance from your place if your God can do all that for you? The Parash understood that he was defeated in this debate. He went back to his land. From that time on, he accepted Precious. He never left the city again. Because he truly believed that the Ibn Islam is the Almighty and can support you and take care of you, then why are you going on these trips for? Same way, he gives you panasa by traveling, he gives you panasa by not traveling. Umehen, another advantage. Menuchas ha-nefesh ha-guf min ha-masim ha-kashim ha-malochas ha-miyagosas ha-gufos. You won't engage in those activities that are so hard and difficult and tiring and wear you down. He'll stay away from the political arena. He won't feel necessary to get close to the government, and then you have to deal with the intrigue and the backstabbing of the people close to the leadership. You trust in Hashem, you'll seek out your panasa in a way that you don't have to stress out, you don't have to toil, and you'll have a shem tov. Upanai lelibo, have time for your heart, for your mind, the mashu meipik, yosef, chavis haraso, miyasim unaso. You'll be able to spend more time on your obligations to the Torah, with your emuna. Ki asib lo sosif lo b'chuko, v'lo sechasrei menim uma. Because ultimately, your efforts will not add your allotted amount, nor will it take away. All in Hashem's decree, commotion, like it says, it's not like you find it from the west or from the east. It's all from the Baruch Shalom who makes people low and lifts people up. The Baruch Shalom guides me on the Meimenuchos, on the restful waters. Umehen, another advantage. He won't feel bad in his business dealings. If his inventory is too much, or if he can't get money from the people who owe him, or if he doesn't feel well and he can't open up business for a few days, it won't bother him. He knows Hashem takes care of him better than he takes care of himself. Hashem chooses better for him than he chooses for himself. Like it says, I'm just trusting Hashem, I don't have to do anything. So before we go further, this is very problematic. This is very problematic. Because basically, is the Chosavos telling me not to do Hishtalos? Like, why do anything then? Why do any Hishtalos at all? If the Ibn Hashem can provide wherever I am, whatever I do, I pick the easiest job, the least amount of travel, the shortest commute, and the least difficulty, and the least effort, and I don't have to call the people who owe me money that you owe me money, I don't have to worry about my inventory is not selling, because it's all Hashem takes care of everything, and that's it. So is that what we're supposed to do? So where's Hishtalos come in? The Chovos Avos is going to write later that you have to make Hishtalos. You have to make Hishtalos. And he's going to write later that you cannot rely on miracles. So it must mean in this early stage of his introduction, of his psicha, he's not getting into the details, but there's no question If your behavior is the equivalent of relying on a miracle, that is not adequate. That is not adequate. You cannot rely on an ace. You cannot rely on an ace. You must make hishtadlus. It's true, like he says, hasiba lo sosiv velo sechasveyo. Okay. The efforts you put in, your hishtadlus might not add or take away. It's all b'gzeiras selekin. But you have to make hishtadlus. If you don't make hishtadlus, then you're going to collapse because you have nothing to, Hashem can't provide you with if you're not doing your hishtadlus. So the question always becomes, so what's hishtadlus? And again, the Chazavavis, we'll see more later, but is instructs us very clearly not to rely on miracles. So if we make a plan, this is my business plan, this is what I plan on doing, and from anyone in that field, your plan is not going to work, then you're lying on an ace. It's unreasonable. If your plan is unreasonable, then you're lying on an ace. You're lying on an ace, that's not hishtadlus. That doesn't work. So it has to be a business plan that's viable. It has to be something which could work. If it could work, good, that's hishtadlus. But if it can't work, it's not hishtadlus. That's not hishtadlus if it can't work. If you're relying on a miracle, you can't rely on a miracle. Chassid also say it later on very clearly. You cannot rely on miracles. So what we need to know as far as bitachon is concerned is that when you make your hishtadlus, it's a real hishtadlus, and you put in the effort, and it's a reasonable expectation that this effort I'm putting in will yield profits and panos and so on, at that point, I have to realize it's not in my hishtadlus. It's all Hashem's gezeir. Hashem can make it happen, not make it happen, depending on Hashem's cheshbonis. I have to do my hishtadlus. After that, the Rebbeinu takes care of it. So the person has to realize that I can't rely on miracles. But if I'm not relying on a miracle, I can have the menuchas and nefesh to know that I did what I had to do and I'm done. So the fellow owes him money. That means you never sent them a bill that you owe me money? Of course you sent them a bill. You can't send them a bill. But once I sent him the bill, I don't have to go crazy at night. He owes me money. I sent him the bill. If normal business procedure is after 2 more weeks to call him, then you got to call him. But I can go crazy about it. Don't make something nuts about it. You have to make your shots. You have to do what's normal in these circumstances. If you have too much inventory, you might have to make a sale to unload your inventory. What's done in business? There's a whole chachma in how to run a business. If you're not doing the norms of your business, then you're lying in a miracle. That's not hishtadlus. If you're doing what hishtadlus is, after that, I'm not going to let it worry me. I'm not going to bother me. That's what he's saying. Once I've done my hishtadlus, I'm not relying on a miracle. At that point, I put my betachon Hashem. I'm not going to let it bother me at night. There are some people who literally, they live and breathe their business all day and night. They take it home with them. They don't have time for their kids. They don't have time for their wives. They don't have time for their families. They're nonstop with their business. It's all consuming, almost like an obsession. That's not the mahalach that we're supposed to have. We have to have parnosa. We have to put our effort. We have to make our hishtadlus. It should not be all consuming. It should not be all consuming. And the same way that it is wrong to rely on a miracle by not making the proper hishtadlus, it's also wrong to make too much hishtadlus and not have anybody talking. You can't make too much hishtadlus either. You can't make too much hishtadlus either. That's a lack of bitachon. That's a lack of bitachon to put on too much hishtadlus. So there is a shaila presented in the Igus Moshe. The shaila is in Shuvas Igus Moshe. And one of the big areas that requires a lot of bitachon and some hishtadlus is shiduchim. Shiduchim. We make hishtadlus, we have bitachon. So this fellow meets this young lady and they like each other, but he's not 100% sure if this is the right one. And she's, I guess, not sure either. They're not 100% sure. So they have this idea. They're going to rent rooms in someone's house. He's going to rent the room for himself. She's going to rent the room for herself. It's a family. There'll be two boarders, a boy and a girl, who are basically considering getting engaged, but they're not sure if they're right for each other yet. So they're going to rent rooms and pretend to be husband and wife, and every morning she's going to make them breakfast and lunch and eat supper together. And after a few weeks of seeing each other, the day-to-day routine, they'll decide if this is the right thing. And the after Moshe is okay. It's a yichud problem, like there's a family there, we're not married, but it's okay like to do this, so we'll get to know for sure if this is really the right thing for each of us. So Moshe says, you know, from Hilchas Yichud, the landlord has to know you're not married. Because if he thinks you're married, he'll leave you alone in the house, whatever. He has to know that you're both single. He has to let you know that you're not married, because if they think you're married, if you pretend, you tell them we're a married couple, then for sure it's a problem. They're going to leave you alone, be yichud, all kinds of issues. They have to know up front you're both single. But I don't advise you to do this. Rav Moshe writes, you have to have bitachon. You can't get married without some bitachon. There's no way. You can't be sure of everything. And you'll never be sure of anything. You can pretend for a month like this and you still don't know everything. How you can know everything? You don't know everything. You have to have bitachon. You gotta make your shtadlus too. You have to make sure he's writing this to the boy. You have to make sure you think the girl is pretty and you like her and she's a Yerushalayim. What else is there to do? Like, what else? That's it. You're done. That's it. You're all set. That's all you need to know. What else do you need to know already? You'll send your kids to cheder. Good. Everything else, have some bitachon. You have to have some bitachon. So you have to make a shtadlus to go out, but it could be over hishtalos. This is over hishtalos. That's beyond. That's not normal. That's not normal. You have to have some bitachon. You have to have some bitachon. There's a certain degree of bitachon you're going to have with shiduchim. And it's like that with everything, whether it's parnosa, whether it's your job. People often ask me, should I take a second job? I have a chavrusa at night. I learn at night. I spend time with my kids doing homework, with my wife, and go to Beis Medrash. But I'm offered a job. I can spend 5 hours at night, a second job, doing something else. And then it'll help me pay for whatever else. So am I supposed to take the second job or not? Is that considered hishtadlus? Is that considered too much hishtadlus? So when I'm presented, and this is more than once I've heard this question, the real issue is people in your field. Is that normal for people in your field? People do that. Some people have to work crazy hours. Some people work 80-hour weeks. Is that the field you're in? Is that normal for your field or not? If that's not normal for your profession, then I would say don't do it. Don't do it. So you won't get the extra income that you would expect from the second job. And the trade-off is you have your family time, and you have your learning time, and your chavrusa time. And you're making hishtadlus. You're doing hishtadlus. You are doing what's considered normal hishtadlus for your field. I would think that might be considered too much hishtadlus. Sometimes they have to take the second job. Sometimes that's part of hishtadlus. So it's person has to know what's considered too much or what's considered within the framework of norm. And there's going to be a range. Obviously, it's never be precise. It will never be precise. There's going to be a range of what's considered normal for this particular person's profession. But when you're in that range, that's hishtadlus. And if you go out of the range, I would think that's already you're delving into too much hishtadlus. Chosavos continues, Mehen, simcha soy, b'chol inishiyat takalav. Another benefit of bitachin is simcha. You'll have happiness, no matter what happens. Even if it's something that goes against your nature, you'll still be happy. Because you trust in Hashem. You trust Hashem will only do what's good for you. Like a mother who cares about her baby. She doesn't ask the baby, but she does anyway. When she gives him a bath, Vichitulo wraps him up in his clothing, Kshiraso, may even tie slumping around him, a sleeper of Hataraso, and then undo it in the morning. Al Karcho doesn't ask him, do you want this, don't you want it? She knows this is what's good for him. Like a mother will take care of her child. You'll take care of me. I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to worry. You just take care of me. Now that I've explained the advantages and benefits of trusting in Hashem, both in regard to Torah and Mitzvahs and in regard to living your life in this world, I intend to explain and clarify 7 points about bitachon. So this gets very similar to like Ramchal, who came later, just to outline what is going to come. What are we about to do? 7 points. Echad mem, number one, ma hu habitachon. What is bitachon? V'hasheni, b'sibas habitachon al habruim. What are the things that we should have bitachon in? What are the things that we are required to do with our bitachon and our hishtavlus. For vi beber advar meshabem yeh bitachon v'chiv shvachon l'smehem. What is the right bitachon? There's sometimes bitachon is wrong, which again goes into nisim. Not to rely on nisim when you shouldn't have bitachon. V'chamishi behefer sheyesh bein esek abatech b'lekim b'tzuras ha'teref bein esek b'tzuras ha'teref bein esek b'tzuras ha'teref. The difference between the person who puts his trust in Hashem when he pursues parnasa and the one who doesn't put his faith in Hashem. Vashishi, beveir ofnei chiyuv ganus tas ha'oyma arichas ha'taris v'oylam, umiach nasho esam ha'kabos ha'voris ha'lekim kashigi ha'lekhaf sambo, ve'im bali mashkoinis. The sixth is a discussion about how inappropriate and bad it is when people have this approach to life that the first part of my life, I'm going to spend as much time as I can to satisfy my desires, acquire all the property and things that I want. Later in life, I'll spend time in Avodas Hashem. That's going to be later. But right now, I'm going to enjoy this world. And when I get older, I'll deal with my responsibilities to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Those people are Bali Mashkonos. Like they take a mashkon. They want to take some collateral. Take something from this world. And eventually, I'll get around to my Avodas Hashem. So we'll discuss why that's inappropriate. Vashvi, and finally the seventh, Mafsidi HaBitachon, what takes away from Bitachon? And everything that really you need to know. Whatever you really need to know about Bitachon. And to explain the parts of Bitachon, it says there are 10 parts, how to divide up Bitachon. So this is the Psicha, explaining why it's advantageous and beneficial to have Bitachon. Why a person's life would be much better off if he has bitachon. And of course, it's madrega, you know. Everyone, I would say, has some degree of bitachon, and then the more bitachon you have, the more comfortable and secure and serene you are, and the people with less don't have as much, and so on. And now, the Chavazvavas intends to begin his parakim of explaining exactly what is bitachon, how to use bitachon, and how it might be abused. There's ways to use bitachon and abuse bitachon at the same time. And panosa, how people behave differently when they have bitachon as opposed to when it does not have bitachon. And bichlal, how to focus your life that you're not going to wait for later in life to deal with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but rather all along the way you should incorporate your avodas Hashem.